again, and welcome to another episode of Nigerian in America. Thank you again for joining me today. I hope you're having a great Friday. So I wasn't able to post, or should I say record, last week because I actually felt sick. And so if I sound kind of weird, I apologize for that. I'm still on the recovery band, but I should be better soon. So if you like the type of content that I'm putting out, please go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on your Apple Podcasts, on SoundCloud, on Spotify, and other platforms that you're listening to this recording. I would greatly, greatly, greatly appreciate it. If you like it, thumbs up. If you don't, thumbs down, that's fine. That also gives me an idea of how to, you know, keep going, because this is all a learning process for me. You know, it's not something that I knew beforehand, so I don't have that much experience in it. But go ahead and subscribe so that you are notified as soon as I post up, and also comment, because comments are awesome. And I know I've been getting like a lot of private messages, but I would love for us to discuss publicly so that other people can discuss together, essentially. So what are we talking about today? Today we are going to talk about the Nigerian education system versus the US. Now, quite honestly, as a product of both, I would say fundamentally, if all things considered, you went to a fairly, how should I say, fairly okay school in Nigeria. Okay, so when I was in primary school, I went to a privately owned primary school. It was actually the school that my mom and her siblings went to. And so the owner of the school had a relationship with our family, and it was Sunnyfields. I don't know if anybody knows that school, Sunnyfields in Sierra Leone. So I would walk to school every day, you know, but I appreciated the, well, at the time I hated it because it felt a little weird, I guess. I wouldn't say weird, just awkward. Well, I was an awkward kid, so there's that. But anyway, side note, I would say that the education that I got there was very, very, very good. Now, the reason why I say that is because I can definitely say that the skills and the knowledge and the fundamental parts of my education that I learned at that school have carried on even till now. So what do I mean by that? In my primary school, we were taught how to embroider, how to sew. We had like a little cooking class, you know, simple stuff, not really like, you know, amazing like dishes that I make today, but it was like a fundamental type of learning for me. I learned French. I was head girl. What else did I do? I played in the band, so I played the drums and the recorder, or the flute, as some people like to say. What else? At the time, I was really, 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 really interested in gymnastics because I was really super flexible. So I would, you know, practice my moves and all the things that I could do. And we had like a little showcase, I believe, at the end of primary six, that I did, you know, a whole little whatever with my hula hoop, which I still miss, actually. I would like a hula hoop again. But I think that during that time, I was so absorbent, like a sponge. I was taking everything in. And even till now, I still use those skills, use some of that understanding, those learning, you know, mechanisms in my daily life. Now, I went to two schools before I left Nigeria for my secondary school. So I went to a school in Abeokuta, I can't remember the name of it. But then after, I think, about a semester, my mom wanted me closer to her because, you know, the drive from Lagos to Abeokuta, she didn't want to have to, you know, find a way to come see me all the time because it was a boarding school. So she transferred me to a school in Lagos, which is Lagos Anglican Girls School. So while I was there, I'll be quite honest, the education there was trash. I'm not saying that this is, you know, what all schools are. No, that's not what I'm saying, because there are a lot of good secondary schools in Nigeria, in Lagos. But at the time, because, you know, she's just learning, she's just going by what information she's getting from people, she put me in the school, and me being in that school, I thought it was trash. Because for the most part, our teachers didn't even come to class. Our teachers didn't come to class to teach us. I don't know if there was a teaching shortage or whatever, but maybe in a day would have one teacher come out of a whole school day and teach us something very minimal for like 15-20 minutes and then leave. Now, I don't know if it's gotten better. I haven't visited the school since I left, unfortunately. But for me, it wasn't that great, quite honestly. Now, the reason why I'm saying all this is because I was thinking the other day, I was actually talking to one of a friend of mine that's the she's an alumni of the university that I went to here in the States. And she, you know, just gisting, normal. She was telling me about how they called her for alumni donation for the school. And she's like, you are mad. Maybe I don't have money. Now asking me to come and give you money for what? But it got me thinking, you know, and I did a little bit of research. And I realized that my university is actually a research university. So we do a lot of, research in medicine, science, technology, engineering. So they get grants like anyhow, you know, for the school. And even in high school, I know for me, I was in a advanced placement track because I was interested in medicine, and thankfully my school had like a medical magnet. So shout out to Miami Northwestern, by the way. But it was really good because it centered my education around what I wanted to do for the most part. Of course, I had English literature. I had American government class. I took Spanish as part of a requirement. I had all these like extra stuff. I think about 2-3 classes per semester that was, you know, normal track. So I had calculus, which I hated, and all that. But for the most part, a lot of my classes were medical classes or health related classes, which was great for me because that's what I wanted to do. So it got me thinking, and I was like, wait, do we have the same system or at least something similar in Nigeria? Because, and I say this because, you know, talking with friends, talking with people that I meet and everything like that, they talk about their school days, you know, how they survived the school, how they just, you know, found a way to do whatever they needed to do to, you know, get to the next level. Of course, I'm surrounded by a whole bunch of bookworms, but they thought it was, from their perspective, I guess, they thought that the education they received was actually great. Now, the reason why I'm saying all of this is because we have to understand content. And content in the sense of, even though my teachers only came to my class maybe once a day, even though some other schools had, you know, rigorous or lax educational structure, the education at the basic level was so rich in content that it still carried on, or is still carrying on, in our daily lives right now. And I believe, quite honestly, that if given the chance, if we were to pit Nigerian students against American students in the same grade level, Niger kids would beat the nonsense out of American kids. Quite honestly. Why? Because of content. quite honest, I'm telling you, because of the content of the education, if given properly. So all of that was just going through my mind. I was like, wow, that's very interesting, because, you know, I'm still understanding how or why our education system in Nigeria is failing woefully. We could talk about privately owned schools, we could talk about, you know, the structure or degradation of government funded schools or church related schools. I think they still haven't given back a lot of schools back to the church, so it's still run by government, and even though it's run by government, it's absolutely useless because the government is chopping their money and they're not giving the school anything. So I was thinking back on it, and what stood out to me most is the university level education. So I have a couple questions, and I would like for anybody that's listening actually, to, you know, message me back and give me your feedback on your school days and how you felt or your education was, or, you know, just answer to my question. So when was the last time your university got a grant for research or a grant for a government study or an investment from an alumni? Or a private company asking a particular department for research. When I say research, I don't necessarily mean scientific research, because there's research in law, there's research in agriculture, there's research in mostly science, you know, health, engineering. Absolutely, there's research in health, in engineering. So when was the last time you heard of, or anybody that you knew that these things were going on in your university? Because I believe that in order to fix, or should I say repair, the Nigerian education system, we have to start from how the schools are run. We have to start from how universities are getting funding to operate, not only to operate but to function properly and give the best education possible. So how do we start? From the beginning, primary schools owned by churches, like my school was previously an Anglican church, should be given back to the churches. Quite honestly, given back to the churches and allow for them to run it. Now, second of all, because for the most part, we have to pay for our education. A lot of our education right now is not really free, because, I mean, I don't think we have a free school in Nigeria at all. Second of all, the government in and of itself must provide a sustainable budget for education. Must. Not maybe, not kinda. Must provide a sustainable budget for education. And when I say education, I mean from kindergarten all the way to the end of secondary school. At least 10 to, 12, no wait, yeah, 10 to highest, you know, being astronomical, 15% of the national budget should be for education alone. Because the more your population are educated, the less likelihood that you have people roaming the streets who can't even figure out anything. Third of all, in every single secondary school, there must be a finance class, there must be a vocational studies class. I remember when I was in Anglican, I know that we had like a agricultural class, so we would actually farm a particular land behind the school. At the time, I found it very ill because people were doing number two over there. Yeah. But they cleared it out and were able to plant some particular plants there, and it somehow grew, which was great. And I think we planted corn and some other stuff, and it was actually growing, which was great. That's how I learned how to figure out how to do my own mini garden in the back of my house. So those two things must be included in secondary education. And when I say finance, I mean basic finance, how to budget, how to save, how, you know, percentage and interest works, how to, you know, just basic normal finance class that can propel people to at least know how to manage their money. Third of all, a lot of educational gap when it comes to what the country needs, what the city needs, what the state needs, how to implement certain plans, how to implement certain projects, can be done, or should I say the research can be done, at the universities. So government should give grants to universities to do research. Research in an agricultural system. When I say agricultural system, I'm not talking about farmers and everything like that. Like, I want us to really think about this. Do we even have a book on the indigenous herbal plants in Nigeria? Because we have a lot, if you didn't know. We have a lot of them. Do we even have a book? Do we even have research that backs, or at least gives us information on the type of agricultural system that we had? We know that some places have red sand, others have, you know, brown soil, others have yellow sand, clay, whatever. That's basic stuff. But what about the indigenous herbal plants, the indigenous wildlife, the indigenous, even poisonous plants as well, the indigenous agriculture that is unique to Nigeria, both south and north, you know? Do we have research in that area that we can even educate our university students on, those who go into the program of agriculture? Now, if I'm wrong, I would greatly appreciate the correction. But if not, I mean, this is a serious look into how our education system is running. Right? Because it's ridiculous. We should be at the forefront of education in Africa. We have the resources. And when I say the resources, I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about human resources. We have great minds out there. If given the opportunity, we'll excel and produce beautiful, relatable, and necessary content for the country. You're talking about a whole bunch of people who are unemployed. Well, the reason why they're I wouldn't say all of them are unemployed, but at least a substantial amount of people are unemployed, is because the educational system in which they paid for was not enough, or should I say not enough to sustain them to even start their own businesses, or to start their own community of business or investment or anything like that, you know. And even after they come out, the system that is in place right now is useless because it doesn't provide enough opportunities for companies to grow on its own and hire employees. Like, the process of even getting a business license in Nigeria is a whole nother podcast that we should all just do research and figure out, because it's stupid, in my personal opinion. But that's a side note. We're going to figure that one out. I'm going to write it down so I don't forget. But I really do believe that we need to take a serious look in our education system. Now, if you went to a private school and your mom and dad paid for it, congratulations to you. Hopefully, you got good classes where you're taught life skills and all that, la-di-da-di-da. Great, awesome. But what about everybody else? You know, I was talking to my mom the other day. My mom and I have these very lengthy discussions and debates. And we were talking about the education system, I think about a couple weeks ago. And one thing that struck out to me was that the more we keep our population ignorant, the less they are likely to question the government on what it's doing, how it's being done, and to hold people accountable. Because if we actually understand how government is supposed to run, and I'm not saying government running the model of the American system or the UK system or any other democracy in the world, we cannot, that's a whole other podcast on it. That one alone I'm going to talk about because that's stupid. But our democracy is very unique to us. So if people don't understand how our own democracy works, they cannot question the nonsense that is going on in government today. And even though they question it, they cannot provide viable solutions to the problem. They cannot hold people accountable. They can't put their feet to the fire. Because everybody's just trying to survive, right? So think about it. If those who are in power, and I'm not talking about the president, I'm not talking about the vice president, I'm not talking about the government. Those who are in power, the influential people in power right now that control our resources, are keeping our people ignorant. That begs the question, what the hell are they doing? You want the answer? They're stealing us. They're stealing from us. They're stealing everything from us. Everything that is meant for the Nigerian people is being stolen and taken to other countries instead of the money circulating back into our own system. So how do we fix it? How do we hold people accountable? Well, first and foremost, every single person should know who the Commissioner of Education is in their state. Know who they are. Not because they're popular, not because, you know, they bought a Beamer or whatever. Know who they are, number one. Number two, find out what policies. And this should actually be public information. If it is not public education, then we need to call for it to be public information that everybody knows what's going on. Call for them to hold several conferences that is broadcasted to everybody and information is given to all parents and everybody that's involved. And not just stakeholders, but everybody in the state. On the budget that was given to the state for education, the system in place right now for educating kids, the accessibility to books that are not outdated. And when outdated, I mean books that were written in 1960 something or 1970 something that they're still using today. What kind of books our children are reading, the curriculum, the standard curriculum that everybody is supposed to know, everybody's supposed to be, you know, on the same page. How we can improve the system, you know, how we can make education more accessible and affordable. If we're not going to make it free, it should at least be affordable. And also future plans on improving the system that is there right now. If those five things don't come up, or those five things cannot be explained properly without unnecessary jargon, then there is a fundamental, ridiculous problem with our education system. And it needs to be fixed immediately. Immediately. And I'm saying this because, like I said, as a product of both education systems, I'm actually quite grateful for that, you know, comparison. Because I can say from my own experience, it's quite different. And even here in the United States, where I went to high school and college, I finished up my high school career and college, I can say that there are a lot of things that I lacked in those education systems. Why? One, finance. Ain't nobody telling me how to budget my checkbook. Say what? How'd that figure out? Nobody did that. I mean, it wasn't in my school, at least. It wasn't a requirement. It wasn't a required class. We didn't know how to budget. I don't remember any class that I took on how to budget or how to save money, how interest rates
work, how to, you know, what it means to borrow, whatever, whatever, like that. I don't remember a class that if my classmates, please, if I'm wrong, just let me know, because I don't remember a class like that at all. I actually don't think I learned a lot of that stuff until I went to college, and I personally took it upon myself to actually take a class on that. It was one of those summer classes that, you know, I just felt like I should take. It was in a business part, which is actually great. And, you know, it just gave me an understanding of what I was doing. That's it. Economics class. That's what it was. Great. So I actually took microeconomics, I believe, when I was in college. Now, I know that there are economic classes in the Nigerian system. I know that. But how well are they being taught? And is that being taught in every school? That's the question. So I know that there are a lot of discrepancies in our education system right now, and I can definitely say that we need a lot of reform in everything, but then we have to really think hard about what we're doing and if it's a system that is sustainable for future generations, kids that are coming up right now, you know, because everybody's looking to get out. Our kids are going to school in Ghana, they're going to school in South Africa, they're leaving the country. And more professionals are leaving because the system that is in place right now in Nigeria is not working. And we can't keep waiting for government officials who know nothing what they're talking about to fix a problem they don't even understand. We have to take it upon ourselves to do that. We the citizens, have to, number one, hold people accountable. And number two, really make sure that the things that affect us and our families are well enough for us to survive. And if that's not the case, then we screwed hard. I mean, it doesn't sound like there's any chance of us surviving as a country if we don't change. And even here in the United States, I can definitely say that our kids here, I mean, well, in my high school, I took a vocational class it was like a elective for, I think it was dry cleaning or something like that. What do I need dry cleaning for? You know, maybe in some of the schools in the States here, they teach them carpentry or basic, basic electronics where you can fix, you know, a light bulb or whatever. But shouldn't that be everywhere? Shouldn't that be part of the basic curriculum for every single student to at least be self-sustainable? I think so. I believe so. But what do I know? So, I mean, again, if you think I'm wrong or you think I'm misinformed, please let me know. Subscribe, like the channel, like they like to say on YouTube. Subscribe, like the channel. Please put your input. I would love to hear from you. Actually, that's a very good idea. I should put this on YouTube, shouldn't I? So that it's easier for people to see and understand. Oh, yeah, that'd be great. Awesome. Okay, I'm going to do that later. But, yeah, I really do believe that we need a absolute fundamental system change in Nigeria for us to even survive in the future. So that's just my 2 pennies, 2 cents. Thank you again for listening to me. I know I sounded like raspy and stuffed up. I'll be fine. It was just one of those things. But I really, really appreciate you listening to this podcast. Again, I would love to hear from you. Comment, like, whatever. And we'll talk about more stuff later. I think I'm actually going to delve into a little bit more relationship stuff, because a lot of people have been asking me for advice, and I'm like, I don't even know what to tell you. So we'll do that in some future broadcast. But thank you again for listening, and I'll see you next time.